WildTalkRadio.com.
My name is Damian Sandow, and I am here to help all of you. As your intellectual savior, I can no longer stand idly by and watch as you, the unwashed masses, plunge further into the bowels of your own inadequacies and shortcomings.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
No, no, no! This is supposed to be about me! This was supposed to be the greatest night of my life! And not only will I be the champion, but I will be the face of the WWE!
Featuring Sir Rockin.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me. Tools in your religion, all designed to keep you safe. But when rules start getting
in what we are titling the overly ovaries explode edition of Monday Night Raw. Welcome to the Raw Post Show live right here on WildTalkRadio.com, presented by PW Mania and MemLanePromo.com. I am Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Can we just skip to the end, please?
No, no, no. No,
what?
No,
what?
No, no. Relax. No. No.
Oh.
It won't take us long to get there.
I hope not.
It won't. Trust me. It really, 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 really won't.
Okay. Well, let's get started.
We had breaking news to start off the show as the Authority, Triple H and Steph McMahon, are on vacation because it was best for business, which led the question of who is actually in charge of Monday Night Raw. Raw opened up with Randy Orton coming down to the ring and, you know, talked about how Big Show got his job back and he's been blackmailed, made into a title match, and he got beat down for his troubles. Orton declared himself the winner at Survivor Series, vowing to retain the WWE title and the status as face of WWE. Orton said that while the Authority is on vacation, he would be the one in charge. That was not to be, as out came Raw General Manager Brad Maddox. Yes, for Omega.
He's back.
Brad Maddox is back. And, you know, he basically said, you know, he's the GM, he's in charge, so he'll make his first move tonight, and then out came Kane in his fancy suit.
Much better choice this week. Much better. At least he, if it's the same suit from last week, he buttoned the coat, which made it look so much better.
And I think he changed the shirt and the, yeah.
No, I think it was, this, you know, he was wearing a white shirt last week. I think he just wore a more subtle pinstripe this week, where it was a black on black stripe, as opposed to last week he wore an actual pinstripe.
Gotcha.
Don't ask the girl. I notice these things.
That's why you're here. Because I don't. If you
anyway.
Say, if you say one word, no, anyway, out came Kane and he got you sold out chance. And so he's, you know, the director of operations and with the absence of Triple H and Steph, he's in charge and he said he's going to make a match and, but no. Maddox said, follow my lead, I've had this gig for a while and, you know, you're just the new guy, so follow me. And Brad makes Orton versus Cody. Kane said, no, that's not happening. He books Orton versus Goldust, who we've had to come out now, but instead out came Vicky Guerrero. She said, excuse me a lot. The crowd was really, really against Vicky Guerrero. And she basically said, with the Authority on vacation, you know, wish them a good vacation, but she has complete confidence in Randy Orton, so she'll play the middle person, the middle man, the middle woman, and do what's best for business. As the voice of reason, Vicky Guerrero books Randy Orton in a handicap match against both Goldust and Cody Rhodes. Don't think the Authority will be happy about that one.
They'll be happy, but okay. I kind of had a problem with this.
Okay.
I have to clear my throat for a second. Okay, so you have Brad Maddox come out, who mm-hmm. is the general manager of Monday Night Raw. Fine.
Right.
You know, totally logical reason. You have Kane come out, who is the newly crowned or newly named director of operations. Keep wanting to call him director of authority.
Yeah, I know, right? That rolls off the tongue so much better, but I don't know.
I know. It's like, gee, that's synonymous with another company that we won't name.
American Dream, baby. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. And then you have Vicky come out. And here's my thing, is it's like, technically the way that this looks like it's going to be structured is Kane is over Brad and Vicky, or he's on the same level as Brad and Vicky. I can't tell which. My issue with this was you've got Kane in a brand new role. He's never done this before, literally. And he's got to establish himself in a very serious role for this task. Very serious. Because you can't do comedy with him here. At least not yet. And my problem is they went right for that comedy between Maddox and Kane. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was hard enough with Kane getting the You Sold Out chance, and you really should have had Kane play into that. Because it's like, he's getting this huge reaction, and he just kind of kept going. And then it's like, you basically have Brad being like, well, yeah, screw you, it's my show. Dude is the director of authority, so he's either on your level or he's above your level.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's if anything, you should have had Kane tell Brad, you're not going to talk to me like that. And this is why.
Right.
And then on top of it, you have Vicky come out, who really doesn't even have any business coming out, as the former GM of Raw, as the current GM of SmackDown. It's not her show. She should have no authority whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But yet she gets to make the match.
Yeah, that was the curious part of it. She was the one who became the voice of reason. I didn't know she had authority still on Raw. That's why I go back. It's gonna come to a point where the Authority has to set the structure. And since they were on vacay, they didn't set the structure.
Right, and I agree, and I'm sure that will happen next week on Monday Night Raw, potentially in Nashville, but it's something of, you would think if they were going on vacation, they would have set a power structure, but they obviously didn't for, you know, for show purposes. But it's just like, you know, that was just the problem with the segment, is it's like you've got Kane in this brand new role. He's this big, imposing, scary guy. So he's really in the perfect position to do this, and you make him look like a fool within the first 5 minutes.
Thankfully, later on in the program, they fix that a little bit.
A little bit. He redeemed a little bit, but not all the way.
But we'll get there. But up first, it was Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes and Goldust, the tag team champions. All champions were involved. Good opening contest. The finish saw Randy Orton getting himself counted out after Cody and Goldust knocked him over the top rope. One spot I did like Cody's moonsault, which was a really nice moonsault before the finish of this contest. So, the Rhodes brothers win via countout. Thoughts?
Yes. This was a great match.
Then, out came the Big Show. Big Show, well, stalked Randy Orton around the ring. They got into a brawl. And then it led to Big Show taking apart the announce table, moving the steel steps by the announce table, picking up Randy Orton, getting on top of the steps, and choke slamming him through the table. That right there was tremendous. That was a ride straight to hell, as some people were saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, when Big Show gets the steps to get on the announce table, something's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, like, he took Randy up and he took him down, and it just looked like Big Show killed Randy with the way that, one, Randy sold it, and two, the way the table just gave.
Right. That indeed was a chokeslam. And it sent a message that Big Show is coming for the WWE Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Then we come back from break. Big Show gets into a really, really small cab.
Actually, it was an average-sized cab. He's just too big for it.
All right. He get into an average-sized cab, and he looked really, really, really uncomfortable getting into it. So he left to get a pint from a local pub.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Then, well, the show took a really strange turn. It was Los Matadores and Santino Marella, a horny Santino Marella, because he had horns on his head.
Yeah. This match got really, kinky. I don't know.
So, they took on the, what the fuck were they called? What were they called? The Union Jacks, that's what it was. The Union Jacks. Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, and Drew McIntyre as the Union Jacks.
Okay, I'd like to point out, one, you know Drew was weeping on the inside because he's Scottish. Two, mm-hmm. Wade Barrett. Number three, and Sheamus were both sitting somewhere watching that happen, and they were laughing their asses off when it happened. You know they were.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They really, really, really were. So, this became a match where Santino gored Heath Slater in the ass with his horn, and then the Cobra had horns, and the Cobra with the horns to Mahal in the face, so his horn went to his face, and the horn went to the, yeah, Team Santino won.
This was a very not PG match with all the horniness going on. I mean, just, you know, it's like, first, number one, El Torito, he's not PG. I'm sorry, that little hip swivel he does, yeah, that ain't PG, folks. Which, it's, you know what, that doesn't bother me, it's fine. It's like, whatever, just every time he does it, that's all I can think is, that's not PG, Mr. Bull. But, yeah, and then it's like you have Santino gore somebody in the butt, and then the Cobra has horns, which I kind of want the Cobra with horns. I'm not going to lie. I kind of want it.
Kinkins brings up in our interactive chat room, where was the helicopter? Yeah, I mentioned that to Lindsay last night. It's like, 6 months ago they came in via helicopter. But yeah.
We'll get to where the helicopter was in a minute.
We'll get to that here in just a couple minutes from now. But yeah, that was not a PG segment.
Mm-mm.
Backstage, as we mentioned, Randy Orton was being tended to by the trainers when Brad Maddox walked in to apologize. Orton didn't like what happened, and then Vicky tried to apologize. He didn't want to hear it. Kane walked in, tried to calm it down, who then talked back to Kane. And then, you know, Kane came back, saying, told him, stop talking back, or, you know, you'll be dealing with more than just the Big Show. So Kane kind of redeemed himself a little bit there.
He kind of redeemed himself a little bit, but it's still kind of one of those things that it's, you really need to, if you want this to be believable, you really need to have it be believable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, Kane stepped up. He's like, oh no, you're going to listen to me because I'm the director of authority.
Operations,
whatever. I keep wanting to say authority, damn it! That's it. He's just the director of authority. End. Done.
He's just the DOO.
Yeah, he's just the dude.
Anyway.
But yeah, so it's like he regained a little bit by telling Randy, it's like, no, I'm the director of operations. You are going to listen to me. So it's obvious that Kane does have authority over the talent. Mm-hmm. We saw that. Where he is with Brad and Vicky, I don't know. But again, it's like, Vicky should, I still say this, Vicky should not have been there.
I agree completely.
Vicky, it's one of those things that Vicky should have, Kane should have at least told Vicky to get out, because it's not her show. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you're the director of operations, you're over talent, which means you're on the same level as GMs, or you're above the GMs. And it's something of, you shouldn't be here, you need to get out.
Yeah.
This is a Raw issue, this is not a SmackDown issue, if you're keeping with the two separate shows.
Right.
And this will probably, like we said at the beginning, come to a head where they have to name somebody in charge when the authority is not there. And I would almost bet dollars to donuts it does end up being Kane. Or Kane ends up either over Raw and SmackDown and they get rid of Vicky and Brad. Or, because remember, it's like, Brad was the stopgap. He got named GM because Vicky got fired. And he was in the right place at the wrong time.
Right.
And Vicky got named GM of SmackDown because Vince wanted to stick it to Stephen Hunter. So neither one of them is Stephen Hunter's choice. And they're really at this stage sort of superfluous to what's going on.
Right.
So it's something of, you could easily get rid of Brad and Vicky and just put Kane in their places. And then that gives the authority, the presence that they need on the shows when, obviously, Steph and Hunter are not there, which they're rarely there on SmackDown.
Correct.
Oh, but, yeah.
Go ahead.
But, yes, good for him for, at least establishing his authority somewhat. Don't be afraid, Sean. Or don't be afraid, Kane. Step it up.
Sean?
They just showed the scrolling thing on my Raw thing. And, like, the first tweet they showed was Shawn Michaels.
Gotcha. Kofi Kingston took on Damian Sandow. Sandow won. Nothing really much to write home about. It was the match.
Yay, Sandow!
Then we got the most shocking of news on Monday Night Raw.
More shocking than the end?
For one night only. Live from the music capital of the world, WWE presents Raw Country. Next Monday, 8, 7 Central, only on USA.
Yeah. Raw Country.
Okay. One, I'm so bummed my friends in Nashville can't go to this. Two, why do I have a feeling this is a direct shot at TNA? Why do I just have this feeling that they're walking into TNA's backyard?
Uh-huh.
And they're going to mock the crap out of them because, well, TNA is going back to Orlando, and WWE recently opened their performance center in Orlando, which is basically going to put TNA head-to-head with NXT. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be indirectly or directly, depending on how you look at it, competing for fans. So why do I have a really funny feeling we're going to be seeing some mocking going on?
I don't know, but damn, Raw Country, that one.
That kind of scares me.
Alright, WWE, I know you listen. Please don't put Great Khali in a country hat with a guitar and try to sing.
I'm kind of hoping they actually have some country singers show up, because I know, like, Trace Atkins is a huge WWE fan.
Oh, I expect a country star or two to be on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I would actually really love to see that you have some of the local talent, as it were, because, Nashville's totally lacking for, singers, show up on the show and either perform or do guest spots or whatever.
I know this has been said 1,000 times on Twitter and Facebook and then Tumblr. God, the Tumblr.
Tumblr's an awesome place. Don't mock the Tumblr's.
I'm not mocking the Tumblr's. It's just... I lost my point. Oh, yeah. Hardcore country.
That's entirely another possibility, too. She was down at...
She's working in Florida this week.
Yeah, she's working in Florida at the Performance Center as a guest trainer. And, well, there's always the possibility Nikki could go back. Just pointing that out, because, you know, she's got an album to promote, and what a better place to promote it than the WWE. Just pointing that out.
And to derail the show just a little bit, because Kane couldn't ask for it. If it was fine.
Have to address before we move on the biggest burning question coming out of Raw being in Nashville. Will the Undertaker show up at a Predators game?
Well,
the last time they were there.
All right.
Point that out.
All right.
Somebody turned up at a Predators game.
I know. Up next, Dolph Ziggler took on Curtis Axel for the Intercontinental Championship. Thoughts?
Very solid match. It's Ziggler and Axel. You can't go wrong there.
No, you really can't. Well, what's next week's weekend date? The 16th?
Mm-hmm.
Chicago plays in Nashville on the 16th of September. Or November, rather. God, my months are mixed up. Saturday, November 16th. Chicago at Nashville. So there you go. There is a hockey game for him to go to. Just pointing that one out.
Taps chin.
So yes, Curtis Axel retained the Intercontinental Championship. It was a solid match between the two men. You know.
Can I just say that I'm really kind of actually starting to dig Curtis Axel? Like, I don't know why. I think it's mainly his facial expressions. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he's kind of growing on me just a little bit.
Right. I think it's because of the memes.
That, too.
I think it more has to do with the memes. Zack Ryder, Shield stuff. Woo, 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 you know it. Tamina Snuka took on Nikki Bella. They had a nice little match.
They did. I mean, it was very, very solid. Nikki is not as sound as Brie, but she's definitely improved. She was doing a lot more somersaults and flips and that kind of thing, so good for her. She had more counters, so she's definitely learning. She's definitely improved, but she's not as solid as Brie is.
Give her time. Tamina wins, and then we had a little bit of a fight between all four ladies.
Yeah, there's no love lost there.
No. So Tamina wins. We then go backstage into the trainer's room. Randy Orton still being treated for his injuries. The Shield walk in to have a little chat with Randy Orton. Orton asks where they were when the Big Show knocked him, took him out. Orton ran a rave until Ambrose said, "Randy, it's none of your business where we were." Rollins said they don't work for Vicky, they don't work for Kane, they don't work for Brad Maddox. "And we damn sure don't work for you," said Roman Reigns.
The boys brought their sassy pants with them.
Rollins then said, as they walked away, "Feel better, man. Feel better."
And I love how Dean, like, just sort of waved his hand for Randy's shoulder.
It's like,
he's like,
"Magic, magic, he'll feel
magic,
better.
Feel better." Like, oh, Dean. You're so precious.
It was very precious. It was a precious moment. But yeah, they did bring their sassy pants. That was a very nice segment. Dean Ambrose is indeed a smartass.
I really like this just because, again, it asserts the Shield and where they stand in the authority, which is basically, we don't answer to anybody but Steph and Hunter.
Right.
So y'all can get to Steph.
So this show is from the United Kingdom, which means one thing and one thing only. The people went crazy. They went crazy for Fandango.
They did. Once again, Jim Johnston is sitting somewhere in his home in Connecticut, or in the Northeast. I'm not entirely sure where he lives, but he was sitting in his living room, smiling as he got an arena full of people, mainly men, to sing the cha-cha and point their fingers in the air and dance.
Yep. Yes, 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 they did. So, we had Fandango versus Tyson Kidd. Short match. Kidd looked good. Took a really nasty fall. I don't know why he took the fall, especially coming after the injury. But he caught up fine. Fandango wins with counter to roll up and pick up the victory. So the feud between Fandango and Summer Rae against Kidd and Natty continues because there was a little tease from Total Divas.
There was a tease from Total Divas, and well, Tyson seems to get jealous really easily. And Summer didn't look too happy that, well, Fandango was working with Natty behind the scenes, so,
By the way, if you like Total Divas, check out our interview with WWE Diva Cameron Ariane Andrew from this past Thursday on The Rack Extra. Speaking of The Rack Extra, it returns this week as we review episode number 9 of the season 1.5 of Total Divas this week. RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com.
I've heard the new episode is really, really good, so I kind of can't wait to see it.
So, you can look forward to The Rack Extra this week here on the website. Up next, John Cena versus the real American. We should point out that there was a conversation with Kane and Brad Maddox where they kind of both made some matches. Kane made the main event. Brad Maddox made this one, Real Americans versus John Cena.
Kane smiled, and then he wouldn't shake Brad's hand. And Brad held out his hand, and Kane just kind of looked at it, and he's like, "Let's not."
They went for some comedy, but thankfully, they kept it to a minimum.
Excuse me, they did keep it to a minimum.
So, Real Americans versus John Cena, really good match. Cesaro and Cena worked really well together. I kind of want to see that match at some point.
Yeah, I kind of do too. Not going to lie.
Cena made Swagger tap out to the STF. After the match, Cesaro and Swagger, along with Del Rio, attacked. Three all on attack. Out came Big E to make the save. So there
well, Del Rio didn't like that one bit, did he?
Del Rio was not happy about that at all. So we may see something coming up between the two in a little bit. Speaking of, Kane said Cena had it coming. We're in the office. Then Alberto Del Rio marched and gloated about his work. Del Rio told Vicky Rowe to tell Big E Langston to get his nose out of his business. But Vicky said that the opposite should happen, and, well, there will be a match later on tonight.
I thought Kane made the match.
I'm reading the recap.
Okay, we'll go with the recap, but I guess Warren Kane made the match.
I completely missed that segment. So I couldn't tell you.
The only thing I remember thinking, it was like, it was the one time it was appropriate to have Vicky there because it's about the World Heavyweight Championship, which is SmackDown's belt, and it's between John Cena and the number one contender, Alberto Del Rio, so it's like it makes complete sense that it's Vicky's problem, so Vicky should be the one to handle it.
Right.
As opposed to the rest of the night, where it's like, why are you here?
Right. Honestly, I completely did not see that segment. I had the show on the entire time. I must have missed it. Oh, well.
Shame on you.
I know. I was busy talking to someone. Matt Goldberg, check out Crash Collision Wrestling and Wrestling Figure Wednesday at youtube.com/MBG1211. There you go. Ryback versus R-Truth. And somehow, R-Truth won the match.
Ryback's on his way down. You can tell.
Like,
he's just, when you're jobbing to R-Truth, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what? So, he slipped on the banana peel and lost. Then, as we mentioned, we get Big E Langston versus Alberto Del Rio. Solid match.
Very solid match. Langston definitely looked good.
Langston looked good. Del Rio was able to win via tap out via the arm breaker. Then, then we have Paul Heyman in the ring, turning to the TV for the first time since Hell in a Cell. Heyman said he was in a wheelchair. He was in a wheelchair covered in a body cast, which, you know, is a result of all the injuries. Heyman says current condition is a result of the attack at Hell in a Cell by CM Punk. Heyman said Punk could not have done this without the help from the likes of that big, ugly, dummy Ryback, who Heyman said he took under his wing, nourished, offered him a chance to be Paul Heyman guy, and did not accept, thank God. Heyman said Ryback guaranteed him victory over Punk at Hell in a Cell, but they found out that Ryback bit off more than he could. But Heyman also blamed, and most importantly, each and every single fan in the crowd. Heyman then, you know, basically said, this is all your fault. Which is why he was left, which is why he has left his first class accommodation seeking alternative medical treatments in Europe to slum it up with the working class citizens known as Manchester. Because he has this statement, he needed witnesses to hear his intentions. As I, Paul Heyman, shall return with a vengeance. He vowed to drive the blade of his sword through the heart of CM Punk. And then this where it brought out CM Punk with the biggest...
Okay. What? Before we continue, can we just talk about Heyman for a second?
Yes, go ahead.
One, Paul Heyman, you beautiful, beautiful heat magnet, you. I love Heyman, because it should be noted, he came out completely gimmicked up. Mm-hmm. He had a neck brace, he had a back brace, his knee was in a brace, he had his arm in a sling, he was in a wheelchair, he had crutches. I mean, my God, he looked like he'd been through hell and back. I mean, it's just like, and you just see him sitting there, it's like, oh, Heyman, you're selling this so beautifully, and you're just sitting there. And then it's like he starts talking about Ryback, right? And it's like, wait, did they break up?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, love is so fleeting.
Yes, they indeed broke up.
Heyback is no more, ladies and gentlemen. Heyback is no more. But yeah, this was... Because I actually wasn't expecting this, because I'm not going to lie, I read the spoilers for Raw. And so I wasn't expecting this at all. And so it's like, oh, wow, okay, cool. You know, they're going to do it like this. All right, that's awesome. And, yeah, it's like to see Paul Heyman, that was great.
So, as I mentioned, CM Punk came out, kendo stick in hand. You know, he got the kendo stick later. Came out, smirk on his face, went after Curtis Axel, gave him the GTS, then grabbed this kendo stick, and then had a lot of fun. So he got in the ring, grabbed the wheelchair, and started spinning Heyman around and around he goes, for knocking him out of the chair, grabbing the cane, and just beating the crap out of Paul Heyman.
CM Punk became 5 in this segment. I mean, there's just no other way to describe it. He became like a 5-year-old.
So the crowd was excited. Heyman was in pain. We had Daniel Bryan come out as we went to break. Coming back from the break, we had the Shield come out for the 3-on-2 handicap match. Daniel Bryan, CM Punk versus the Shield. Fantastic match. And to start it off, you had CM Punk and Dean Ambrose. And the look on Ambrose's face when he got in the ring with Punk, he was smiling from ear to ear.
Oh, you know when they got told, you 5 are going to work together. You know, Ambrose, Rollins, Punk, and Bryan were probably giddy as schoolgirls. Because mm-hmm. They've all worked each other in the past. At they least, all know each other from the indies.
Most of them, yes.
I know Ambrose and Bryan had a huge feud, I believe, in Dragon Gate. Mm-hmm. Punk is partially responsible for Rollins getting into the business, and I'm sure he's worked with Rollins. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like they were as giddy as school kids, probably. And you know Ambrose getting in the ring with CM Punk, because they actually had a fantastic match with each other down in FCW. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, as if the internet wasn't excited enough about, you know, it's the Shield taking on Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. It's like the internet darlings versus the internet darlings, and go. Mm-hmm. You know, then they turn a fantastic match in. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And then, well, more amazingness happened, but I don't know if we're going to get into that yet.
Well, they had a hell of a match. They really, really did. And CM Punk, right? Had
yeah.
Ambrose on the verge of tapping out.
Mm-hmm. And this is the moment where the internet exploded. Kind of.
The lights went out. In the ring, we had Luke Harper and Eric Rowan face to face with Ambrose and Rollins. They were jaw-jacking at each other for a little bit. They were, Rollins and Ambrose was trying peacekeeper for a little bit, and that wasn't much. They all were going at it. Harper was the mouth talker for the Wyatt family. Dean and Red Seth, they just trash-talked. They started a fight. Then on the outside, you had Roman and Bray mouth off at one another. They started a fight. They got all sassy.
No, get it right. Roman grabbed Bray, was talking smack, so Bray took his hand and he backhanded Roman back.
There you go.
And it was on.
All 6 then got in the ring, they started a fight. And then cooler heads were starting to prevail as Bray was trying to be a peacekeeper, breaking things up a little bit, calming his boys down. Just calming things down a little bit. And then they realize they should turn their attention to someone else. Or a couple.
Punk and Brian, who were watching this on the outside with glee.
They were happy, and then they realized, oh, crap. The 6 men turned their attention to Punk and Brian. They went out after them. Punk and Brian got in the ring. It was a 6-on-2 brawl. Then out came the Usos. Out came Cody. Out came Goldust. It was a 12-person brawl. As Monday Night Raw closed, you had Daniel Bryan, Punk, and the rest standing tall as the Shield and Wyatts scattered around.
And this is where the internet collectively came where the fangirl's ovaries exploded, yeah, where we all sat here after it happened going, oh my god, do it again and again and again, please.
You were not alone. Lily in the chat room goes, my ovaries were officially gone the moment the Shield started fighting the Wyatts. Dear sweet lord.
Lily, you made it! Hi! Lily is a friend on Tumblr, so everybody be nice to her and say hi.
Yes, be nice to her. Be very nice to her.
So, yeah, this made the show. And I read the spoilers earlier today when they came out, and it was like, I was complaining to Rock because it's like, 3 hours, I have to sit through 3 hours and get maybe 5 seconds of Bray, and I didn't realize at the time, because they didn't do a good enough recap of what the final segment of Raw was, to make you fully understand how amazing this moment was. I mean, literally, it's just like everything you could ever want, minus Cassius Ohno, as far as your internet darlings go, were out there. And they made up for it with the Usos and Cody Rhodes and Goldust.
Yeah, they teased a lot. They teased so, so much in that segment. And this is where I'm going to pose the question. Is this Survivor Series?
Oh god, if it is, I'm going to die.
Are we going to see a 6-on-6 elimination contest at Survivor Series between the Shield and the Wyatts against Punk, Bryan, Rhodes, Goldust, and the Usos?
Here's the question. Can the Wyatts and the Shield get along long enough to have a 5-on-5 match?
6-on-6.
Or, I'm sorry, 6-on-6. Whatever.
You should know the amount of Wyatts and Shield members there are.
I know the amount of Wyatts and Shield, but Bray doesn't usually wrestle, so I don't count him.
Really?
Bray's in the chair. That's where Bray goes. Get in the ring and the other two fight.
Wait.
I keep forgetting Bray wrestles on occasion.
Yeah, Bray is a person. You know this. You follow him. You are kind of obsessed with him a little bit.
Follow hell, I stalk. Get it right.
I was being nice.
No, there is no nice about this. Just admit the full amount of my shame and just be done with it.
Well, Lily is doing that in the chat room right now for you.
Yes. Thank you, Lily. Thank you. She's one of the Wyatt fangirl brethren from Tumblr. We have adopted each other. We have our own little family over there. It's amazing.
I'm kind of scared, but I'm... Yeah.
You're outnumbered, dude. You're outnumbered.
I know, and I'm on this Tumblr thing now, and it's... Yeah. I'll be good. I promise.
Yeah, just be good. Anyway.
I'll be good.
Fantastic segment. Fantastic match. If this is Survivor Series, I will totally take it in a heartbeat. I would actually pay for the pay-per-view. And that's saying something.
And that is saying something, because the last time you did, it was SummerSlam, and Bray had a match.
Yes, he did, and he didn't catch on fire. I was so proud of him.
The first 2 hours and 40 minutes, not really memorable. The last 20, the last 5, that was a moment.
If they were testing the waters with that, I hope they call that a success. I really do, because that was absolutely tremendous. You basically had your entire future of the company in Goldust in the ring.
And the veteran hand Goldust, yeah.
Well, no offense to Goldust, but it's like he's not going to be around as long as the rest of them. So it's like, literally, if you think about it, you've got the Wyatts, you've got the Shield, you had the Usos, and you had Cody. Mm-hmm. You've got pretty much your entire future in that ring.
Right.
And that's your next generation right there. So that's a pretty exciting concept. And if you're, given the Shield's popularity, given the Wyatt's popularity, at least online, it seemed like they got a good reaction. I don't know. I think I was too busy fangirling out when it happened, so I'm going to have to rewatch it on the replay. But
yeah, I'm waiting for it here in about an hour and a half.
Yeah, prepare for your eardrums to explode.
I know.
But anyway, yeah, so it's like you, that was a tremendous moment, and I hope they saw that, and I hope they do the right thing with that.
You can see they're set with only one Raw left. This seems like the direction they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going country next week. Alright, I'm putting this out there, and I know this is the bad thing to do. Picture the Wyatts going country. Leave it at that.
So it's the Wyatts normal?
No, extra country singing songs and that sort of thing.
Actually, Bray does sing. He does like to sing.
Okay, picture him with the guitar.
I don't picture him with a guitar, but I can picture him singing.
I know you can picture him singing. Picturing him singing country music.
Actually, he has.
Alright, I'm not as obsessed. I don't know these things.
I can tell you exactly which promo it was, too.
Alright, we'll discuss that later.
See? Lily's got me.
I know he sings a little. Anyway, get it. I'm not stepping in this water. I am not stepping in this water.
You're surrounded.
Yes.
Be afraid. Be very afraid. You're surrounded.
I know. That's the scary thought. Because once I step in this water, things get really, really bad. If
And then I get blamed for you doing evil Photoshop and posting the pictures on Tumblr, even though I have nothing to do with that.
She has... Yeah. It's all Lindsay's fault.
No.
Yes. Anyway.
Show. Rails. Gone.
Off the rail. Yeah. We went off the rails. A little bit.
We always go off the rails.
Yes, we... Yes, indeedy do, we do. So that was Raw, in a nutshell. Anything?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Anything you want to add before we wrap it up?
I want more of that next week, please. Like, I would actually love to see a backstage segment between the Shield and the Wyatts. Just because I think it would be tremendous. I want to see Dean and Bray talk smack to each other. I really do.
Oh, that should be interesting. So I hope everyone enjoyed tonight's edition of the Monday Night Raw Post Show. As we're here every Monday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, recapping Monday Night Raw. And this was not planned, but we're going out with it anyhow. Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, Lindsay, it's The Rack.
That's right. Tune into The Rack Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, where we will be talking all about the news and notes of the week. If you missed it last week, we talked to the one, the only, the WWE legend, the man that invented everything, and the star of But I'm Chris Jericho, Chris Jericho. We also had the pleasure and privilege to speak to the amazing Cameron, one half of the Funkadactyls and star of Total Divas. You can check both of those out in the archive because they were amazing interviews. We had a lot of fun speaking to them, and to everybody who's already listened to both, thank you so much. We appreciate you listening, and if you've listened or you haven't listened, tell your friends. Tell them to come listen because they were a lot of fun for us to do. As far as this week's show, we got news, we got discussion, we got Tweet of the Week. We haven't prepped the show, so we have no idea what we're talking about. But tune in Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Check out the Rack Extra Total Divas Edition this week as well on RackRadioShow.com. And WildTalkRadio.com. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/RackRadioShow. Buy the official Rack t-shirt. And if you have a t-shirt idea that you personally would buy, let us know. Contact us at contact@RackRadioShow.com or media at WildTalkRadio.com. That sort of thing. Friday night, 9 p.m., it is WTR Games Garage with Mace. We'll be going through WWE 2K14, 30 years of WrestleMania. Saturday night, midnight, it's CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, Subway. And Ace, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We talk about everything you can possibly ever imagine. We also have on the record, on that show, have a record of saying Kane's penis to 200 or so times in one episode. Don't ask.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Before then, we'd make fun of King Kids. Sunday night. I love the fact that he remembers the number. That's tremendous. Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It is WTR Sunday Night Live with Wrestle Talk Radio with Mace, Omega, and myself. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio.org. On the Twitters, at Wild Talk Radio, WTRProductions.net, and I'm on the Tumblrs at WildTalkRadio.tumblr.com.
You say that with such shame.
Your turn.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lynn's Ward, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, segwarddesigns.com. Check that out. Go to castyriley.net for all your Casty Riley needs. On my website, if you like wrestling artwork, click on the Contact Us link because it has a link to my Redbubble store where you can buy the amazing artworks that I put out. You know, I'm just saying, I'm not egotistical or anything. But yes, check out RackRadioShow.com, check out The Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern, and also listen to all the other fine programming on this network because, yeah, we all work very hard. I think that's everything. I think.
That is it. We will see you Thursday night for The Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern. Come join us. Tell your friend. Bring a few. We have a lot of fun. This has been another edition of Raw Post Show Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PW Mania and MemlanePromo.com. Good night, everybody.
Bye.